The 38th verse of the Tao Te Ching, quote, "A truly good man is not aware of his goodness, and is therefore good. A foolish man tries to be good, and is therefore not good. The master does nothing, yet he leaves nothing undone. The ordinary man is always doing things, yet many more are left to be done. The highest virtue is to act without a sense of self. The highest kindness is to give without condition. The highest justice is to see without preference. When the Tao is lost, there is goodness. When goodness is lost, there is morality. When morality is lost, there is ritual. Ritual is the husk of true faith, the beginning of chaos. The great master follows his own nature and not the trappings of life. It is said, he stays with the fruit and not the fluff. He stays with the firm and not the flimsy. He stays with the true and not the false." Unquote. Living within your own nature. Here's the message behind this seemingly paradoxical verse of the Tao Te Ching. Your nature is to be good because you came from the Tao, which is goodness. But when you're trying to be good, your essential nature becomes inoperative. In your effort to be good, moral, or obedient, you lose touch with your Tao nature. There's one sentence in this verse that I pondered for days before I wrote this essay. When the Tao is lost, there is goodness. I felt personally perplexed because it seemed so contradictory to what the Tao Te Ching was teaching. Finally, in a moment of contemplation, while I meditated on a drawing of Lao Tzu, it became clear to me, nature is good without knowing it, were the exact words I heard in my meditation. I then understood what Lao Tzu seemed to want to convey to me about this somewhat confusing 38th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Live by your essential nature, the Tao, which is oneness. It has no polarity. Yet the moment that you know you're good, you introduce the polarity of good versus bad, which causes you to lose your connection to the Tao. Then you introduce something new. You figure that if you can't be good, you'll try to be moral. And what is morality but standards of right and wrong that you try to uphold? As Lao Tzu seems to be saying to me, the Tao is oneness. It has no standards for you to follow. In other words, the Tao just is. It isn't doing anything, yet it leaves nothing undone. There's no morality. There's only the unattached Tao. It isn't right and it isn't fair, but it is essential nature, and you're encouraged to be true to your own essential nature. As morality is lost, the idea of ritual surfaces. So you try to live in accordance with rules and customs that have defined your people for centuries. But I could almost hear Lao Tzu saying, the Tao is infinite and excludes no one. Rituals keep you disconnected from the Tao, and you lose them by trying. So you rely upon laws, further dividing yourself and creating chaos for yourself. Again, the Tao just is its own true essential nature. It has no laws, rituals, morality, or goodness. Observe it and live within its nature. In other words, act without being concerned for your own ego. Give as the Tao does, without condition or trying to be good, moral, or just. Just give to all without preference, as Lao Tzu advises. I admit that living by this 38th verse may be the total opposite of what you've learned in this lifetime. It certainly represents both an intellectual and behavioral challenge for me at times. You may appreciate knowing that many of the scholars whom I researched regarding this verse said that Lao Tzu wrote it, and the next one, in response to his opposition to Confucius, his contemporary, who laid out specific edicts and codes of conduct for the people. What Lao Tzu seemed to be saying to me through meditation was, trust your own essential nature, let go of all polarities, and live in the indivisible oneness that is the Tao. The dichotomies of good and bad, right and wrong, proper and improper, legal and illegal, and the like can be difficult. Just remember that when they surface, the Tao is lost. Here's some more advice for you through me from Lao Tzu. First, live in your essential nature by rejecting artificial principles. These principles in descending order are goodness, fairness, rights, and laws. Artificial goodness is an attempt to live by not being bad. So you allow others to decide where you fit in on a goodness scale. Affirm, I am of the Tao, a piece of God, and I need no human-made device to confirm it. Goodness and godness are one, and I trust who I am and will act from this perspective. I am staying with this truth and not what is false. Furthermore, See that the Tao isn't concerned with fairness. Give of yourself knowing that this is an artificial contrivance that cannot exist from a perspective of oneness. You are from and will return to that oneness, regardless of your opinions about it. So open up generously without desiring to be treated fairly. And second, abandon outmoded familial and cultural customs. Relinquish rights that you feel compelled to follow simply because they've been that way in your lifetime, and particularly in your family. Peacefully affirm, I am free to live, trusting in the eternal Tao. I do not have to be as my ancestors were. I relinquish ancient rituals that no longer work or that perpetuate separation or enmity. Remind yourself that goodness isn't accessed by obeying laws. Rather, it is what resonates within your essential nature. You don't need any sort of code to decide what is proper, good, moral, ethical, or legal. Trust yourself to be an instrument of love by surrendering to your highest nature rather than being seduced by mortal laws. This poem from the 16th century mystic St. John of the Cross, titled A Rabbit Noticed My Condition. Quote, I was sad one day and went for a walk. I sat in a field. A rabbit noticed my condition and came near. It often does not take more than that to help me at times. To just be close to creatures who are so full of knowing, so full of love, that they don't chat. They just gaze with their marvelous understanding. Unquote. Do the Tao now. Spend a day consciously choosing to notice one of God's creatures, such as a dog, a butterfly, a moth, a spider, an ant, a fish, a cat, a deer, or whatever attracts you. You can learn a lot from them about trusting your inner nature. They are, as the poet says, so full of knowing.
The 39th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, these things from ancient times arise from one. The sky is whole and clear. The earth is whole and firm. The spirit is whole and full. The 10,000 things are whole, and the country is upright. All these are in virtue of wholeness. When man interferes with the Tao, the sky becomes filthy. The earth becomes depleted. The equilibrium crumbles. Creatures become extinct. Therefore, nobility is rooted in humility. Loftiness is based on lowliness. This is why noble people refer to themselves as alone, lacking, and unworthy. The pieces of a chariot are useless unless they work in accordance with the whole. A man's life brings nothing unless he lives in accordance with the whole universe. Playing one's part in accordance with the universe is true humility. Truly, too much honor means no honor. It's not wise to shine like jade and resound like stone chimes. Unquote. Living wholeness. We traditionally think of wholeness as something that's complete. The whole 9 yards, for instance, implies the entire distance. I ate the whole thing signifies having consumed something completely. Lao Tzu, however, seems to view the concept differently. Wholeness, he writes, has roots in humility. When humility evokes our wholeness, we live the reality that we're pieces of the whole. With this attitude, you want to exist harmoniously with the entire universe, cooperating with and being subjugated to other aspects of the whole. You can't even consider interfering with any piece of it because you're one with it. The moment you begin to place yourself in a transcendent position in relation to others or to your world of the 10,000 things, you're interfering with the Tao. I encourage you to examine your concept of wholeness based upon this 39th verse of the Tao Te Ching. I can assure you that the world will appear to have changed when you see it through this lens. Lao Tzu insists that the universe is whole. That is, it's in a state of oneness. There are no parts needing separation from this state. Sky, earth, spirit, and the 10,000 things are all parts of the whole. And what's more, that's their virtue. Now, while the sky and the trees may truly be in a unified state, your ego insists that you're separate, distinct, and generally superior. But if you can modify your ego's viewpoint, your life will change. When you're cooperative and looking for signs of oneness, you'll begin to see and feel the interconnectedness of everything. For example, your body is a convenient analogy for a universe all unto itself. While it is one entity, it certainly has trillions of individual, although interconnected, cells. Just one cell with an arrogant relationship to the whole makes all the cells suffer and ultimately become extinct, much like the individual who interferes with the Tao by polluting the sky, depleting the earth, and disrupting the equilibrium of the whole. A cancer cell that refuses to cooperate with the cells adjacent to it will ultimately gobble them up, and if left unchecked, it will destroy the whole. Why? Because that cancerous cell has no relationship to the whole. It will destroy itself as it kills the host upon which it depends for its own survival. And you will destroy yourself if you participate in destroying the Tao upon which you are dependent for your survival. Each seemingly individual part of a whole is potentially dangerous and generally useless if it doesn't function in harmony. What's true for the chariot in this verse of the Tao Te Ching is true for you as well. Your life needs to have a relationship with the Tao, and that relationship is characterized by Lao Tzu as a bond forged by humility. In other words, wholeness and humility are oneness and the same. So update the way you think about your relationship to life and play your part in accordance with the whole. Here's what Lao Tzu seems to be instructing as I read and interpret this verse of the ancient Tao Te Ching. First, cultivate your relationship with the planet. Live in the spirit of wholeness, knowing that you have a role as one of the parts of the Tao. Remind yourself that you cannot interfere with the Tao and live a life of greatness. This means respecting the environment in every way by living in an earth-friendly manner as a part of its oneness. Become an advocate for conservation. Make time to pick up and recycle trash. Drive an environmentally friendly automobile, or better yet, walk in peace to as many places as possible. Wholeness means maintaining a sense of balance with the all-providing, gentle, non-pushy Tao. In humility, you're able to feel your own tiny role in this great drama orchestrated by your source. You'll see what Lao Tzu means when he says, quote, "A man's life brings nothing unless he lives in accordance with the whole universe." Unquote. And secondly, change the way you think of yourself from being separate to seeing yourself in all that you encounter. As you live in wholeness, notice how you begin to feel a connection to all of life, rather than the separateness that your ego prefers. See yourself in everyone you encounter, in every creature on our planet, in the forest and the oceans and the sky. The more you do, the more you'll want to stay in a state of cooperation rather than competition. You'll also feel more inclined to reject the concept that there is a them. Practice this way of being and notice that the type of happiness that may have eluded you for a lifetime is part of the oneness you begin to enjoy. Here's how Rumi, the ancient Sufi poet, expressed this sentiment. Quote, "If you put your heart against the earth with me in serving every creature, our beloved will enter you from our sacred realm, and we will all be so happy." Unquote. Do the Tao now. Go for a walk today, and in that walk, think in wholeness terms with all that you encounter during a 30-minute period. Just test yourself. See yourself in those you might otherwise have judged, including the very old, the very young, the obese, the disabled, or the indigent. As you look at them, remind yourself, "I share the same originating spirit with every one of these people." This will help you feel whole by shifting from your ego to the virtue of the Tao. The 40th verse of the Tao Te Ching, quote, "Returning is the motion of the Tao. Yielding is the way of the Tao. The 10,000 things are born of being. Being is born of non-being." Unquote. Living by returning and yielding. I see one of the greatest teachings of the Tao Te Ching here in the shortest of its 81 passages. If you can master the wisdom in these four lines, you'll be as happy, content, and centered in the Tao as any sage. With the first word, returning, you're being nudged toward an understanding of the basic principle of your existence. Without needing to leave your body, you're asked to die while you're still alive. You accomplish this by realizing that you're one of the 10,000 things that has appeared in the world of form. What Lao Tzu is expressing here in the 40th verse is what contemporary quantum physics has confirmed many centuries later. Particles do not come from particles at the tiniest subatomic level. Instead, when the infinitesimally small specks are collided in a particle accelerator, there's nothing remaining but waves of particle-less energy. In order for you, a much bigger speck, to form, you must have come from an originating spirit. Now Lao Tzu may have known nothing of quantum physics in the 6th century BC, but he was teaching an essential truth even then. It's spirit that gives life. So to truly live out your destiny as a piece of the originating Tao, you must shed your ego and return to spirit. Or you can wait until your body dies and make your return trip at that time. 6 centuries after Lao Tzu dictated the 81 verses of the Tao Te Ching, the man who wrote a huge percentage of the New Testament also spoke of whence we come. Formerly called Saul of Tarsus, he became known as St. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. In his letter to the people of Ephesus, he wrote, "You were created to be like God, and so you must please him and be truly holy." Ephesus 4:24. This is an invitation for us to all return to what we came from, which is loving, kind, and not exclusive in any way. How is this accomplished? According to St. Paul and Lao Tzu, who emphasizes this point in many of the verses of the Tao Te Ching, you do so by yielding your ego, surrendering, and becoming humble. To that end, in his letter to the people of Corinth, St. Paul quotes Jesus directly, quote, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness," unquote. Paul then goes on to say himself, quote, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong," unquote. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. Indeed, yielding is the way of the Tao as well as the key to an uplifted existence, according to virtually all spiritual texts that have survived over the centuries. When you truly change the way you think about all of life, the world begins to look very different. You begin seeing everyone and everything as if they have round-trip tickets. You know they all arrived from spirit, and you know they must return. All that composes also decomposes. And whether anyone else understands, that isn't important to you. You find the awareness that life on earth is a death sentence to be a liberating and amusing viewpoint. You're choosing to live every day, each moment that you have, and as much as you can, as the non-being aspect of yourself. As a being of spirit, you decide to use your return ticket while you're still in physical form by keeping yourself in precisely the same loving status that you occupied before entering this world of boundaries. As you take your return journey, you not only get to lose your ego identification card, you have the added bonus of regaining the power of your source, which is the all-creating power of the universe. You merge into the oneness of a being who dissolves ego concerns, and the world that you now see is perfect and infinite in nature. There is no more worry, anxiety, or identification with your possessions. You're a free person. You're a spiritual being first, last, and always. This is what I feel that Lao Tzu is telling you in this brief yet profound teaching of the 40th verse of the Tao Te Ching. First, monitor your direction, emphasizing returning and yielding. Mentally, make an effort to assess every step you're taking in all aspects of your life, including your career and your relationships and your health, in terms of directionality. That is, ask yourself, in which way am I truly moving? Am I getting away from my originating place, or am I returning to it? As you make this assessment, you can be more forthright about returning to, rather than moving away, from the Tao. A resolution to exercise or eat more nutritious foods is a step taking you back to the well-being from which you originated. A decision to suspend your ego and take an interest in another person is a movement of moving back to the Tao. A determination to be generous rather than hoard is a choice to be in the return motion. All of these actions come from your thinking first about the direction in which you're moving, away from your originating spirit or back to it on your return trip. And secondly, surrender. This is what yielding is really all about. Recognize that your little ego does nothing and that the Tao creates everything, including you. As I sat and wrote the words that appear in this book, I know that I don't own what mysteriously appears on the paper. I've surrendered. I know that God writes all the books, composes all the music, and erects all the buildings. I bow to this all-creating power. While it appears that all of the 10,000 things are born of the world of beingness, as I think about it more, the beingness itself came from non-being. It is to this glorious state of non-being spiritually, or the Tao, that I yield. I encourage you to do the same, and then peacefully observe how it all flows together perfectly. Do the Tao now. Strategically place a picture of a yield sign frequently found as a traffic device within your field of vision. Each time you look at this sign, use it as a reminder for you to return to the Tao. At least once, each day, rather than continuing a disagreement, cede on the spot. In the midst of talking about your own achievements or basking in the light of your ego, stop and become an instant listener. The more you yield each day, the more you return to the peace and the harmony of the Tao. The 41st verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, a great scholar hears of the Tao and begins diligent practice. A middling scholar hears of the Tao and retains some and loses some. An inferior scholar hears of the Tao and roars with ridicule. Without that laugh, it would not be the Tao. So there are constructive sayings on this. The way of illumination seems dark. Going forward seems like retreat. The easy way seems hard. True power seems weak. True purity seems tarnished. True clarity seems obscure. The greatest art seems unsophisticated. The greatest love seems indifferent. The greatest wisdom seems childish. The Tao is hidden and nameless. The Tao alone nourishes and brings everything to fulfillment. Unquote. Living beyond appearances. This verse of the Tao Te Ching influenced my choice for the title of this book. By changing your thoughts so that they harmonize with the Tao, you'll see what you've called reality is in fact an outward form, an appearance only. In the beginning, your new way of regarding oneness is clouded by old ego-inspired habits. What you've been accustomed to still resonates within you as real, and your Tao-inspired world may not be consistently recognizable. But you will begin to look beyond what only seems to be your truth and move into a direct experience of the Tao, uncluttered by your previously limited views. Re-listen to the first section of this 41st verse of the Tao Te Ching, noticing your response. Ask yourself whether you're a great, middling, or an inferior scholar when it comes to understanding and applying the wisdom of the Tao. For example, I can unabashedly proclaim myself a great scholar after so many years spent studying and writing it. And the more I've studied, the more diligently I've practiced. I've become highly attuned to the infinite variety of daily opportunities to employ these principles of the Tao. As you examine your own thoughts, you may discover an aspect of yourself that wants to learn how to utilize these ancient teachings. Thus, you can move from being a person who knew very little about the Tao, and might even have ridiculed it, to being a great scholar. The application of the Tao each day determines the greatness of a scholar, rather than whether he or she intellectually understands these paradoxical-sounding concepts. Lao Tzu points out that without the ridiculing laughter of inferior scholars, the Tao couldn't even exist. Talk about paradoxical concepts. In A Warrior Blends with Life, A Modern Tao, Michael LaTorre comments on this 41st verse. Quote, the way is only attractive to those who are already wise enough to know how foolish they are. Sarcastic laughter from other fools who believe themselves wise does not deter the truly wise from following the way. Following the way, they do not become complicated, extraordinary, and prominent. Rather, they become simple, ordinary, and subtle. Unquote. As you elect to live the Tao each day, what you experience within and around you will be different from what it appears to be today. You will go way beyond surfaces into the blissful world of the Tao, and it's vital that you choose to stay in this truth regardless of how it all seems. Others will make fun of you, but remember the paradox that without that ridiculing laughter, it wouldn't even be the Tao. You'll experience times of darkness, but your new vision will eventually illuminate your inner world. And when it seems as though you're moving backward, remember that the Tao is hidden and nameless. If it was knocking at your door or readily accessible like a pill to swallow, it wouldn't be the Tao. So when life looks difficult, stop and realize that you're only one thought removed from being at peace. You'll know what Lao Tzu meant when he said that the easy way seems hard and true power seems like weakness. You don't have to struggle or dominate others in order to feel strong. A person in the Tao sees the world quite differently, knowing that inner peace is power. Less effort is actually easier. Work gets done when you lighten up internally and let yourself be moved along by the ceaseless Tao rather than by setting goals or meeting standards that are set by others anyway. Allow the Tao and see the purity and clarity that originates from this vantage point. The outward appearance of anyone or anything may appear tarnished, but a Tao view will remind you that essential goodness is always there. It's hidden and nameless, though, so don't be obsessed with finding it and labeling it. In this way, you become a great scholar who diligently works to live in harmony with the Tao, even though it remains obscure. Apply this same insight to the times you feel unloved. When you see what appears to be indifference, know in your heart that love is present. The Tao isn't concerned with proving its fidelity. It appears to be uninterested, but it's nevertheless always there, everywhere, as your thinking changes from a position dictated by your ego to one that transcends it, you'll see an illuminated world that is truly inviting. Ego convinced you to see a cold and indifferent planet, while the ego-transcending Tao shines pure love to all that you're connected to. Allow it to work its magic in your life. This is what Lao Tzu seems to be instructing as I sit here right now, asking how might I serve those who read my book or listen to this program. First, be diligent. You're not an inferior scholar of Tao if you're just listening to these words. So if you're a middling scholar who retains some and loses some of this wisdom, make a commitment to work toward your own greatness. Just practice a few of these insights each day. Be diligent about it. Set aside your inclination to be puzzled or argumentative, and allow yourself the freedom to be a persistent practitioner. Even a small thing, such as an affirmation or a rereading of a verse each day, puts you on the path of living according to the great way. Lao Tzu simply says to live it by zealously practicing these insights. Here are some lines from Walt Whitman to remind you that you're not who you really appear to be. Quote, "Oh, I could sing such grandeurs and glories about you. You have not known what you are. You have slumbered upon yourself all your life. Your eyelids have been the same as closed most of the time. Whoever you are, claim your own at any hazard. These shows of the East and the West are tame compared to you. These immense meadows, these interminable rivers, you are immense and interminable as they are." Unquote. The Tao truth is unprovable in physical terms. Let go of your conditioned way of needing proof in the physical world before something becomes your truth. The Tao is hidden permanently, and it cannot be named, so accept this as a fact. You're not going to find it in a material form. It has no boundaries, and the moment you try to name it, you've lost it. Re-listen to the very first verse. Just as modern scientists must accept the fact that quantum particles originate in waves of formless energy or spirit without their ever seeing that infinite all-creating field, so too can you let go of your need to see and touch the Tao before you can believe it. By changing the way you look at the world, you'll see a realm beyond the appearances of darkness, difficulty, weakness, indifference, and death. As the poet Rainer Maria Rilke observed, quote, "Behind the world our names enclose is the nameless, our true archetype and home." Unquote. Do the Tao now. Spend an hour with a child today, taking note of how much wisdom is embodied in what appears to be juvenile behavior and beliefs. Notice his or her fascination with seemingly insignificant items, repeating the same senseless phrase, tantrums, or laughter. Jot down your impressions of the wisdom behind such so-called childish impulses, and vow to be a kid again as frequently as possible. The 42nd verse of the Tao Te Ching, quote, "The Tao gave birth to one. One gave birth to two. Two gave birth to three. All three begat the 10,000 things. The 10,000 things carry yin and embrace yang. They achieve harmony by combining these forces. People suffer at the thought of being without parents, without food, or without worth. Yet this is the very way that kings and lords once described themselves. For one gains by losing, and loses by gaining. What others taught, I teach. The violent do not die a natural death. This is my fundamental teaching." Unquote. living by melting into harmony. The beginning of this verse reiterates what Lao Tzu has been saying throughout the previous 41 sections of the Tao Te Ching, that is, the Tao is the hidden force that brings all of the creatures and substances that comprise the 10,000 things into being, as well as being the intangible that we think of as oneness or wholeness. All carry and embrace the opposites of yin and yang, or the feminine and masculine principles. This verse reinforces the idea that blending these seemingly opposing forces is the way to achieve harmony. Lao Tzu reminds you of the things that you probably think cause suffering and suggests that being orphaned or going hungry or feeling worthless are high on the list. But then he says that achieving harmony in terms of the Tao involves gaining by losing. Does he mean that if you lose your home, your mom and dad, your belongings, or your sense of self-esteem, you'll gain all that you need? What? How is this possible? Your infinite self that originated in and is animated by the Tao needs nothing to sustain itself. Parents, possessions, and self-worth are only necessary to the existence of your mortal self. Lao Tzu wants you to recognize this difference within the oneness that you are. He teaches that you gain awareness of your Tao nature through the loss of emphasis on the physical conditions of your life. In your oneness, you're likely to lose the Tao sensibility in proportion to the emphasis you place on worldly desires. At the same time, Lao Tzu emphasizes that death of the mortal self is influenced by the way you live. You will die as you live is the fundamental teaching for the mortal self. This is the balancing act that you're required to truly melt into harmony with the Tao. The last several lines of this verse insistently drew my attention when I was researching, writing, and meditating on this 42nd passage. I studied many translations of it, and I spent countless hours communing with Lao Tzu, gazing at his likeness in my writing space. I discovered that this particular verse was always interpreted with the same kind of dramatic emphasis. All said something similar to the following. "I take this to be the father of teachings," said one. Another said, "Know this to be the foundation of my teachings." Another said, "This will be the essence of my teaching." Another said, "Whoever says this is my beloved teacher." And the one that I use here, in this translation of the Tao, quote, "This is my fundamental teaching," unquote. My conclusion here is that when you're violent in any way, including in your thoughts or your behavior or pronouncements and allegiances, then you're choosing to die in the same way. Of course you'll draw your own conclusions about the significance of this particularly dramatic instruction of the Tao Te Ching. The insistence with which this teaching presented itself to me leads me to believe that Lao Tzu wants me to emphasize that its opposite is also true. That is, a person who embraces the Tao and eschews violence and hatred will live and die naturally, which is in harmony with the perfection of the Tao. So I invite you to change the way you perceive what keeps you from harmonizing with your source. The birthing agent of all is also your ultimate place of return when you leave your body in that moment that we call death. You must be willing to give up your attachment to all forms of violence in your life if you want to melt into harmony. Here are Lao Tzu's suggestions written through me for embracing this fundamental teaching of the Tao Te Ching. 1. Remember that violence violates the harmony of life and death. Make a decision to live harmoniously with the Tao by removing all associations that you have with violence. Stop supporting entertainment that promotes any type of it, for instance. Monitor your vocabulary to remind yourself to remove words that direct hatred or killing toward any living creature. Explore avenues for resolving disputes peacefully, and get involved with organizations that discourage violence. Remember that the one fundamental principle of the Tao Te Ching is that if you take up savagery in any way, then you're signing up for a savage end on this planet. And this includes your mental activity as well as behavior. So seek kind and forgiving thoughts in place of revenge and hatred. Change the way you look at life to seeing a picture that's free of violence and melts into harmony as you live and die. And secondly, examine your attachment with the idea that you gain by losing and lose by gaining. Your attachments to objects, status, your culture, and even other people prevent you from being free in the great way of the Tao. The more stuff that accumulates, the more you have to watch it, insure it, worry about it, protect it, polish it, distribute it, and identify with it. In other words, you lose harmony while seeking to gain. Practice giving your possessions away and loosening your need for who and what you have. Imagine strings attached to everyone and everything that you feel you own, then symbolically cut those strings and be an observer rather than an owner. This is how you melt into harmony with the Tao. The poet Hafiz advises, quote, "Start seeing everything as God, but keep it a secret," unquote. Do the Tao now. Think of one person who may have wronged you at some time in your life, someone who abandoned or mistreated you, someone who stole from you or cheated you, someone who abused you perhaps or spread ugly rumors about you. Spend one day, just one day, putting all thoughts of revenge aside and instead feel forgiveness and love for that individual. Notice the difference in your body when you don't have violent thoughts. This is the essential teaching of the Tao. The 43rd verse of the Tao Te Ching. The softest of all things overrides the hardest of all things. That without substance enters where there is no space. Hence I know the value of non-action. Teaching without words, performing without actions, few in the world can grasp it. That is the Master's way. Rare indeed are those who obtain the bounty of this world. Unquote. Living softly. The Tao Te Ching is full of parallels to nature, and in fact, the pure essence of the teaching seems to be to help us to become Tao-inspired sages through oneness with the environment. The opening lines of this 43rd verse remind me of the way of water, of its softness and ability to enter everywhere, even when there's seemingly no space for it to do so. Water is used symbolically in many references to Taoism, such as the title of the outstanding contemporary work by Alan Watts, Tao, the Watercourse Way. To live softly is to live the watercourse way. In this verse, Lao Tzu invites you to change the way you view hardness. To you, the concept is probably equated with strength. You may work out because the firmer your muscles, the tougher you think you are. Do you consider diamonds more valuable than a soft mineral like volcanic ash, which crumbles in your hand? Perhaps you subscribe to the idea that doing a difficult task makes you a better person. Now imagine emulating water, this basic element that is the embodiment of nature. After all, it does comprise 75% of both the world's surface and our physical makeup as well. Think about the way water courses, flowing to the lowest place, and how in order to experience it, you can't just grab a handful, you must instead relax, lightly placing your fingers inside of it. Reflect upon how the gentle water compares to the solid stone and marble it's capable of carving through. The soft water overrides hardness. Deep valleys surrounded by mountains of granite have been carved away over the centuries by the patient, quiet, moving liquid called water. Imagine being able to enter where no space appears to be available, and to move slowly, speaking seldom, and allowing yourself to be harmoniously intact as you seek a lower, less noisy, and noticeable place. A place where all others desire to come to you. This is the watercourse way. There's value in the non-action of being able to flow like water naturally and effortlessly. I can't help but think of this when I enter the ocean to swim for an hour or so. I want to go with the current rather than swimming against it, so my first choice involves seeing which way the water is coursing. As I move through the sea, emulating its naturalness, I trust my instinct and swim without trying to direct my arms and legs in their strokes. I think of it as doing, but not interfering. That is, I'm allowing my body to propel itself through the water without my mind telling it how to move. As I've changed my thoughts about hard and soft, I don't have to do anything but be in the water. I've chosen to make my daily swim a soft, silent experience that requires very little action on my part. And my swimming world has changed. It's become easier, more joyful, almost effortless. I've learned the value of non-action, as Lao Tzu expresses it in this verse. It's performing without action. Apply this way of seeing everything in your world. Tasks will be simplified, your performance level will increase, and the pressure to be better than others by using superior hardened strength will cease to be a factor. You'll naturally incorporate the wisdom of peaceful harmony that's found in the martial arts by letting the efforts of others become a source of your own power. Your softness will override the hardness of others. This principle is clearly seen when you look at great champions as they perform their chosen activities. The greatest golfers are effortless in their swing. The most successful ball players run, jump, throw, catch, and shoot with a softness that seems to stupefy most observers. They don't use force, nor can they find words to describe how they do it. The most talented artists dance softly, without effort, or paint quietly, without force, and write easily, without struggling. by allowing the words to come to them. As Lao Tzu reminds you, these are rare beings who live the Master's way. These sages obtain the bounty of this world, which is available to you too. As I contemplate Lao Tzu's counsel, he urges me to offer you encouragement to apply the spirit of the watercourse way that's found in this 43rd verse of the Tao Te Ching. First, introduce a soft, non-action style to your life. Practice the way of non-action or performing without effort. By letting go of your inner drive to push ahead, you'll see that you ironically do better than when you tried so hard. In your work, become more tolerant in your drive to achieve by softening your attitude and your behavior. You'll see that customers and large opportunities are attracted to you. Why is this true? Because you're allowing the perfect flow of the Tao, like the great gray heron lets the tide recede in order to reveal the nourishment he needs to live. Notice how your life changes as you change the way you look at it. Practice performing without effort in other areas of your life, too. For example, some marathon runners say that they've learned to relax and stop pushing, letting their legs, their arms, and their torso simply be as their bodies begin experiencing extreme exhaustion with only a few miles to go. They report that when they shut down the mental interference and instructions, they magically cross that finish line. Soft always has its place, for it is the watercourse way, the way of the Tao. And secondly, encourage desires to freely flow in your imagination. Consider what you've wanted to have in this life as if it's behind a locked door. Examine what you've been telling yourself about the prosperity, the superb help, the good luck, the business success, or wonderful relationships you've craved, that no matter how hard you've tried, it's all come to naught. Then imagine yourself flowing like water through the barrier of that locked room. Do it softly, gently, and silently in your mind. In other words, just spend some time getting used to practicing the watercourse way of the Tao. As you allow softness to be part of the picture of your life, the hard way will soften. Begin to exercise this kind of effortlessness in all areas of your desires. According to Ralph Waldo Emerson, quote, "It is the condition of inspiration. Marry nature, don't use her for pleasure," unquote. I urge you to consider this kind of a marriage. Do the Tao now. Have a day of silence. Don't speak aloud to anyone. Instead, just observe and see if you can be in a state of softness without telling yourself or anyone else what to do. Gently consider the powerful words of Herman Melville, who once said that God's one and only voice is silence. The 44th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, "Which means more to you, you or your renown? Which brings more to you, you or what you own? I say what you gain is more trouble than what you lose. Love is the fruit of sacrifice. Wealth is the fruit of generosity. A contented man is never disappointed. He who knows when to stop is preserved from peril. Only thus can you endure long." Unquote. Living by knowing when to stop. This 44th verse tells you that changing the way you prioritize your life ensures a fruitful one. I call it the enough is enough section of the Tao Te Ching. When you update your view of the most important things in your life, the world around you is going to seem very different. Lao Tzu is urging you to look into your heart and examine what is truly important. Earlier verses of the Tao Te Ching counsel that the essential mission of your life is to go back or to get to know your originating source before physical death. In other words, you don't have to die to make that return trip. It's not only possible but essential to feel your connection to the Tao while you're still alive. Knowing when to stop is part of the path leading you to your essential self, where the need for fame and possessions is non-existent. You see, it's not the things or even a desire for recognition that keeps you from living a life of connection to the Tao. It's your attachment to them that gets in the way. So shift the importance you've placed on success or belongings, which has obscured your connectedness to the Tao. Begin to note the senselessness of demanding more or exhausting yourself in pursuit of what keeps you trapped in a vicious cycle of striving and never arriving, or trying to find fulfillment. This verse implores you to know when to stop. I'm sure that you can easily see people in your environment who spend their entire lives seeking more of everything. More possessions, more money, more recognition, awards, friends, places to go, substances, food, you name it. If you live with this same philosophy, you've signed up for a life of frustration and dissatisfaction because the search itself becomes your jailer. It's easy to see, then, why Lao Tzu advises that what you gain is far more trouble than what you lose. When you prioritize your life, you'll find that love and a feeling of abundance are not only what you desire, but these two principles are instantly available because you've changed the way you look at the world. From this new perspective, you'll feel totally loved and wealthy in all ways. I realize that Lao Tzu is again speaking in what seems to be paradoxical words, but he's coming to you from the perspective of having changed the way he looked at things and noting that what he looked at changed. He now sees love and wealth everywhere, yet he knows intuitively that he can never possess them by chasing after them, since they'll always remain just outside of his grasp. And so he looks at the Tao and sees the great way keeps nothing for itself, is willing to let go of its life-giving essence, and is desirous to share with all. When you give of yourself asking nothing in return and withdrawing your need for recognition, you'll experience more contentment. The fruits of wealth and love are seen right there before you when you simply stop the chase. The beauty of the wisdom in this 44th verse is that you give away your attachments to things or ways of being, which is what I mean by knowing when to stop. If the chase is wreaking havoc on your relationship, stop. If the chase is exhausting you, stop. If the chase is keeping you from enjoying your life, stop. When you know when to cease and desist, you're protected from all of these perils, and you'll soon enjoy a long and contented existence connecting with the Tao. The following is what Lao Tzu seems to ask me to offer you as a means for implementing this teaching. First, make your relationship to the Tao your top priority. Prioritize your life by making this the essential and foremost responsibility you have. Your primary relationship needs to be with yourself, not your family, your business, your country, your culture, or your ethnicity. Affirm, the number one priority in my life is my relationship with my source of being, or with God. Go there first, before any other considerations, and you'll automatically discontinue demanding more of anything. You'll begin to emulate the Tao effortlessly, living heaven on earth. And secondly, practice knowing when to stop. Alert yourself to recognize when it's a good time to stop demanding or chasing or talking or walking or working or sleeping or playing and shopping or complaining or striving, and on they go. By practicing cessation, you'll move into prioritizing what's important in your life in that moment. Is your business doing well? Let it stop growing. Is your stomach full? Quit eating right now. Do you have enough money saved? Give some of it away without taking deductions or asking for credit for your generosity. The more you're attached to needing and wanting and possessing, the more you lose in your relationship to the Tao. But when you know the time to stop, you say goodbye to the troubles that accrue for those who sacrifice arriving for a lifetime of striving. Do the Tao now. Pick an area of your life to practice releasing an attachment by deciding when to stop. For example, plan to leave 10 minutes before you think you're done in the grocery store, or refrain from buying anything that's not on your list. At work, restrain yourself from getting another cup of coffee or writing one more personal email. In a relationship, don't say anything else in a discussion that's going nowhere. These are all examples of attachment to being or doing. You can also practice detaching by giving something away. Just recently, for instance, my son surprised both of us by doing just that. I was admiring a new T-shirt he'd just purchased, and he said, "Here, Dad, you like this one so much that even though it's my favorite, I want you to have it." It was a simple, spontaneous letting go of an attachment, and both of us felt the wealth that is the fruit of generosity. The 45th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, "The greatest perfection seems imperfect, and yet its use is inexhaustible. The greatest fullness seems empty, and yet its use is endless. Great straightness seems twisted. Great intelligence seems stupid. Great eloquence seems awkward. Great truth seems false. Great discussions seem silent. Activity conquers cold. Inactivity conquers heat. Stillness and tranquility set things in order in the universe." Unquote. Living beyond superficialities. This verse subtly asks you to view the world with new eyes. Most likely, you've been conditioned to evaluate just about everything with a cursory and fleeting glance. Here, however, Lao Tzu is asking you to stop seeing through your ego-dominated culture and to instead begin noticing the still and tranquil, invisible space within everything. When you go beyond superficialities, you become aware that what used to look imperfect, empty, awkward, or even stupid now appears perfect, full, eloquent, and intelligent. Your previous way of thinking about the world told you that it's full of imperfections. The people in your life should be different. Politicians should be aligned with your values. The weather should be more consistent and reliable. The multitudes should be peaceful. Young people should study harder, and older people should be more tolerant. The assessments are relentless and endless, and they're all based on teachings that you've adopted. While they may seem sensible and correct, these views are simply the result of only looking at what exists on the surface. Hold on a minute, this verse of the Tao Te Ching seems to say. Try looking at it this way. What seems to be imperfect has perfection, and what seems empty and false has a profound spiritual truth supporting it. The paradox here is evident. Hunger does exist in the world as an element of the perfection of the Tao, and the desire to help those who are starving is also part of that same perfection. You're being asked not to label what you see as imperfect, stupid, or empty. Rather, look for the stillness and tranquility within you that you can bring to these superficial appearances. When you refrain from engaging in judgments based solely on looks, you paradoxically become an instrument for change. Study the opening lines of this verse. What seems imperfect is nevertheless inexhaustible. What seems empty is endless. Imagine a pitcher out of which you could pour delicious iced tea without ever needing to refill it. Impossible, you say? Yes, that's exactly what the Tao does. Never, ever runs out. It never has, and it never will. It cannot be exhausted. You are asked to be like this inexhaustible, always full Tao. Be non-judgmental, be still, and above all, tranquil. Let the world and all of its creations unfold while you remain constant with the invisibleness that allows it all to take place. Allow whatever you feel deep within you in that quiet and peaceful space to guide you in the direction that is your true destiny. Recently, I attended a talk by my friend, colleague, and mentor Ram Dass, who had a stroke in 1997 that impacted his speech. As of this writing, he spends almost all of his waking moments in a wheelchair, and his lecture lasted approximately 45 minutes. He received a standing ovation at the end, and I personally felt so blessed and blissful by having been in the audience. There are some who might have only seen superficialities. To them, the lecture might have seemed halting and slow because of the stroke and judged as embarrassing or even intellectually challenging. Much of my dear friend's time on stage was silent, and it certainly appeared to be awkward in comparison to his earlier speeches, which were always masterful and eloquent. But as I sit here telling you this story, I can only say that because I changed the way I looked at this experience, the entire thing changed for me in a very dramatic way. While Ram Dass's words were few, his message was straightforward, laconic, and direct. What might have appeared as unintelligible to others struck me as brilliance masked by circumstance. What could have been viewed as fumbling was articulate and perfect in every way. I heard a great presentation to a loving, receptive crowd that was done largely between long periods of luscious silence. Throughout this lecture, all of the audience members and I remained still and tranquil. As Lao Tzu concludes in this 45th verse of the Tao Te Ching, it sets things in order in our universe. I can feel the presence of Lao Tzu here as I gaze at this drawing of this beautiful old man sitting on an ox. He seems to be urging me to tell you how to apply this great wisdom, which comes from living beyond shallowness. First, see imperfections as perfect, even if your ego mind cannot comprehend this. Become aware of your conditioned responses that lead you to label people, places, and circumstances as less than perfect. See the flawlessness behind the supposed defects. As I watched my children grow up, for instance, there were many times when their challenging behavior at a certain age was really a kind of brilliance. For example, I observed them refusing to eat certain nutritious foods, knowing that they needed to go through these phases in order to reach higher places. An adamant refusal to eat vegetables isn't stupid or twisted thinking. It was perfect and necessary for them at the time. You can apply this same kind of patient stillness to your world. Inch by inch, we evolve as people toward a fuller union with the Tao. One of history's great mystical thinkers, Meister Eckhart, poetically put it this way several centuries ago, quote, "Every object, every creature, every man, woman, and child has a soul, and it is the destiny of all to see as God sees, to know as God knows, to feel as God feels, to be as God is. Unquote. And secondly, give yourself permission to be perfect even with all of your seeming imperfections. Recognize yourself first and foremost as a creation of God, which is your perfection. It has nothing to do with how you look or any so-called mistakes or failures you may have attracted to yourself. Even though these superficialities will continue throughout your entire lifetime in this body, the source of your material self, the eternal Tao, is flawless, straight, full, and an expression of truth. When those ways that you've been taught are imperfect appear, and you notice the pain you're causing yourself by disliking or judging them, call in your Tao perfect self to tend to the so-called faults. When you surround it with love, the superficial appearance and feeling of being unloved will become tranquil. The 13th century mystical poet Rumi sums this up perfectly in this short observation. Quote, "You are the truth, from foot to brow. Now what else would you like to know?" Unquote. Do the Tao now. Make a list of 10 things you've labeled as imperfect, twisted, or stupid. Then take one at a time and elicit the feeling in your body that's attached to that item. Allow the sensation to be observed and to be held in your thoughts from a perspective of loving permission. Do this for as long as you're comfortable allowing the Tao now to be present. Remember as you do this exercise that the Tao is non-judgmental and provides equally to all. You can take the sunshine and bask in it, or you can burn yourself to a crisp. The Tao just is, and it doesn't care. The 46th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, "When the world has the way, running horses are retired to till the fields. When the world lacks the way, war horses are bred in the countryside. There is no greater loss than losing the Tao, no greater curse than covetousness, no greater tragedy than discontentment. The worst of faults is wanting more, always. Contentment alone is enough. Indeed, the bliss of eternity can be found in your contentment." Unquote. Living peacefully. If you're presently evaluating your level of achievement based on how much you've accumulated, prepare to sense a major shift in your state of personal satisfaction and contentment. Verse 46 of the Tao Te Ching invites you to discover a more peaceful and self-satisfying way of knowing success. And as your determination to acquire more begins to weaken, your new views will change the world you've known. You'll find that the experience of inner peace becomes your true gauge of accomplishment. This 46th verse begins with a look at what happens when a planet loses its connection to the way. Countries begin needing to conquer more territory, and in their quest for more land and more power and control over others, they must constantly prepare for war. Lao Tzu speaks symbolically of horses here. When connected to the Tao, the animals fertilize the fields. When disconnected from it, the beautiful creatures are bred for war. In a modern translation of the Tao Te Ching, my friend Stephen Mitchell interprets this message in present-day terms. Quote, "When a country is in harmony with the Tao, the factories make trucks and tractors. When a country goes counter to the Tao, warheads are stockpiled outside the cities." Unquote. It's painfully obvious that our world has largely lost contact with the way, as described by Lao Tzu. These days, so much of our energy is placed on breeding war horses at the expense of using our resources to fertilize our fields so that we can live in peace. The United States is chock full of weapons of mass destruction, and we continually legislate more funding to make our weapons so menacing that they're capable of rendering our entire planet uninhabitable. This disease of more has created an environment that personifies Lao Tzu's observation that there is no greater tragedy than discontentment. But even if so many of our divine selves seem to be engulfed by the flames of unease, you, yes, you can begin the process of putting Lao Tzu's advice to work. When you truly understand what it means to live peacefully, satisfaction will begin to replace your desire for more. Your world will begin to become tranquil as you change your own life, and then touch the lives of your immediate family, your friends, your co-workers, and ultimately your nation and the entire planet. Begin by simply thinking of the opening lines of this famous prayer of St. Francis when you notice that you're demanding more of anything. Silently say, quote, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love, unquote. As that instrument of peace, you'll radiate tranquility to those in your immediate surroundings, and you'll feel the flicker of a new and different success and contentment, perhaps for the first time in your life. By refusing to lose the Tao, regardless of how others are and what our world's governments elect to do, you're living harmoniously. Your connection to the Tao will make a difference, gradually inching Earth away from the precipice of discontentment that Lao Tzu calls no greater tragedy. The sublime poet Hafiz beautifully sums up the kind of success I'm referring to in his poem called Would You Think It Odd? Quote, Would you think it odd if Hafiz said, I am in love with every church and mosque and temple and any kind of shrine because I know it is there that people say the different names of the one God? Unquote. Getting back to Lao Tzu, here's his message from this powerful 46th verse that are applicable today in your personal life. 1. Practice gratitude and contentment every day. When your feet hit the floor every single morning, without exception, say thank you for an opportunity to live in a state of contentment. Invite the magical energy of the Tao to flow freely through you and inform your responses throughout the day. You are in harmony with your source when you're soliciting gratitude and gratification in these ways. And secondly, be one with your nature. In a world that seems to produce more and more violence, become a person who chooses to be an instrument of peace. Let your nature be the horses that are bred to till the fields and feed the hungry and offer comfort to the lame or less fortunate. Live as if you and the Tao are one, which of course you are, when you're in your natural state. When enough of us are able to do this, we'll reach a critical mass. And eventually, the great way will surpass the demands of the ego. I truly believe, to use a baseball analogy, that nature always bats last. Do the Tao now. Set aside time to make a conscious effort to send peaceful energy to someone or some group whom you think of as the enemy. Include a competitor, an alienated family member, a person of a different religious persuasion, or those you oppose in a government or political party or disagreement. Then literally send something to them if that feels okay to you, such as a flower, a book, or a letter. Begin your conscious effort today, right now, to surrender to the Tao and know authentic success, which has no separation. The 47th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, Without going out the door, know the world. Without looking out the window, you may see the ways of heaven. The farther one goes, the less one knows. Therefore, the sage does not venture forth and yet knows, does not look and yet names, does not strive and yet attains completion. Unquote. Living by being. I encourage you to change your belief that effort and striving are necessary tools for success. In verse 47, Lao Tzu suggests that these are ways of being that keep you from experiencing the harmony and attaining the completion that's offered by the Tao. Living by being instead of trying is a different viewpoint. As Lao Tzu states, you can see and accomplish more by not looking out the window. And how is this possible? Let's look at an example to clarify this conundrum. I'd like you to place all of your attention on one of God's greatest creations. I'm referring to your own heart, that always beating, mysterious chunk of arteries and vessels and muscle and blood that you carry with you wherever you go. It continually maintains its thump, thump, thump without your trying to make it beat, even while you're asleep. You don't make it thump away. Even without your conscious attention, it works as perfectly as the ocean does. Its continuous beat is even reminiscent of waves on the sea's surface. Your heart is indeed a thing of wonder as it delivers life itself. It is essentially you. That organ in your chest is a model for understanding and applying the lessons of living by being. Your heart attains completion, your life, by not venturing forth or looking beyond its chest cavity or striving. As you sit there listening to these words right now, it's keeping you alive just by being. And you don't even feel it. I'd like you to think of your entire self as a heart that already knows exactly what to do by virtue of its very nature. That is, you don't have to go anywhere to know the world because you already are the world. The moment you attempt to control the beating of your own heart, you realize the futility of such an effort. No amount of trying or striving will make any difference, for your heart operates by its natural connection to the Tao, which does nothing, but leaves nothing undone. Michael Latour points this out in his commentary on this verse in his book A Warrior Blends with Life. Quote, "As the wisest of sages have always realized, the root of essential being is in the heart, especially in the heartbeat mechanism. From here, the radiance of essential being spirals upward to illuminate the head. This mechanism lies beyond any technology. You already inhabit it, and through deep feelings rather than superficial emotions, you can connect with it immediately. The ultimate act that enlightens involves no action at all." Unquote. So now you know that the paradoxical state Lao Tzu describes in this verse is not only possible, but it's actually taking place everywhere right now in billions of human hearts. The further reality is that it is true for the hearts of all creatures, as well as the life system of every tree, flower, bush, and even mineral on the earth. And this is only one planet in a universe that contains so many heavenly bodies that counting them is so far beyond our ability that we can't even devise calculators to undertake such a task. The 21st century is often called the information age. We live in a time when there's more data available on tiny computer chips than ever before in human history. We can also easily see that our efforts do indeed bring us more facts and the like. In fact, you may be one of those computer wizards whose greater efforts have made all of this possible. What's at issue here is the relationship of information to knowledge and wisdom. Let's take apart the very name of this era, information, to explain what I mean. When you stay in form, in your body and the material world, you're rewarded with information. But move beyond form, transform to spirit, and you'll receive inspiration. Thus, information is not always knowledge, and knowledge is not always wisdom. Wisdom connects you to your heart in your waking moments. It is the Tao at work. Lao Tzu is asking you to recognize the difference between striving for more facts and being in the world that is complete as it is. As you live from this perspective of wisdom or connection to the Tao, the world looks so very different. You are a single beat in one heart that is called humanity. You don't have to look outside your window or venture forth. All you have to do is just be in the same way that you allow your heart to just be. This concept was difficult 2,500 years ago, and I realize that it may still be challenging to grasp, but you must. In a world mad for information, without the grace of being the Tao, you are one of the heartbeats that keeps the Tao wisdom flowing freely, just by being. Through me, Lao Tzu urges you to work at this new awareness and try out these suggestions. First, begin the process of trusting your heart. Listening to your heartbeat, you can clearly recognize the Tao practicing the paradox of doing things and at the same time leaving nothing undone. Your deepest feelings are reflections of your heart space talking to you. You don't have to do anything to activate this internal profundity. Simply let your heart speak to you. Begin noticing and appreciating its continual silent thumping. And whatever provides the energy for the beat to go on, let its presence in your chest be a constant reminder of the Tao at work. And secondly, trust in your sense of knowing, which is always with you. An internal knowing is there independent of your venturing forth. It's there even when your eyes are closed and you're sitting still. This doesn't necessarily mean you should become a couch potato. Rather, you must allow yourself to be guided by the same source that twirls the planets around the sun and trust that it will direct you perfectly without your having to interfere. Experience your innate creativity while being an observer, watching in amazement as everything falls perfectly into place. Just as moving water never stagnates, you will be moved by a natural force that seeks being complete within you and without your needing to step in. You can get in touch with this knowing through the practice of meditation. Do the Tao now. Find or make a picture of a heart and spend time today contemplating it as a reminder of the Tao effortlessly at work within your chest cavity. At some point during the day, allow yourself to be guided by the Tao to do something creative that comes from within, such as painting, writing a poem, or taking a walk in the park, or beginning a personal project, or anything at all. Just let yourself be guided without having to venture forth in any way. Then bring this magic of the Tao more frequently into all aspects of your life. The 48th verse of the Tao Te Ching, quote, "Learning consists of daily accumulating. The practice of the Tao consists of daily diminishing, decreasing and decreasing until doing nothing. When nothing is done, nothing is left undone. True mastery can be gained by letting things go their own way. It cannot be gained by interfering." Unquote. Living by decreasing. We live in a society that seems to say, the more you amass, the more value you possess as a human being. Here, in the 48th verse of the Tao Te Ching, you're asked to change the way you look at this notion. Rather than validating yourself by acquiring more, you can reverse this embedded idea of increasing as the criteria for mastering life. The benefit of living by decreasing is seeing your world in a different light. One in which, believe it or not, you'll experience a greater sense of completeness. Throughout the years of your formal schooling, you are encouraged to accumulate more of everything being made available to you. More mathematical formulas, more rules of grammar, more knowledge of ancient and modern history, more information about the human body, more information about the inner and the outer galaxies, or about religion or chemical compounds and so forth and on and on. You amassed a series of transcripts, diplomas, and degrees that summarized your voyage of collecting, gathering, and hoarding evidence of your learning. Lao Tzu suggests re-examining this legacy, for then you can base your level of success on something that appears to be the exact opposite of what you've pursued so far. The Tao asks you to release the external indicators and symbols of your educational status. While learning is about accumulating information and knowledge, the Tao is about wisdom, which involves letting go of information and knowledge and living in harmony with your source. In order to enliven your experience of the Tao and live by its principles, you're being asked to practice decreasing your reliance upon things. As I've already mentioned in these pages, everything that you add to your life brings with it an element of imprisonment. Your stuff requires you to insure it and protect it from potential thieves or natural disasters. Furthermore, you need to polish, paint, clean, store, and pack it, as well as move it from place to place. There's infinite wisdom in the ideas that Lao Tzu outlines in this verse of the Tao Te Ching, especially in his view that true mastery can only be gained by freeing yourself of attachments to things and, in fact, downsizing what you already have. When you seriously think about this idea and change the way you look at accumulation, you'll realize that you can never truly own anything. Native Americans once had no term for owning land. Today, the modern individual's purchase of a piece of property involves an endless cascade of legal maneuvers, including title searches and liens and attorney's fees and mortgages and tax stamps and so on. We've created gargantuan hurdles for the purchase and ownership of a piece of land that we only really occupy temporarily. Lao Tzu urges you to think of yourself as a guest here rather than a proprietor. Cease interfering with the natural world by doing as much as you can to decrease your impact on the environment. That is, live in harmony with the no-thingness state from which you emerged and to which you are destined to ultimately return. Lao Tzu says that you must think about your lifetime, your parentheses in eternity, as an opportunity to be in harmony with the always decreasing Tao by putting into practice these suggestions. First, see the value in subtraction or daily diminishing. Begin to consciously decrease your need to purchase more things. Keep in mind that the advertising world is designed to convince you that your happiness is tied to whatever it's promoting. So instead of buying more, see how many of your accumulated possessions you can recirculate. I guarantee that you'll notice a refreshing feeling of freedom as your desires diminish and you let go of your obsession with the material objects you've amassed. As Lao Tzu might say, you came here with no thing and you leave with no thing. So take great pleasure in all that has arrived in your life. There's even greater pleasure to be had in knowing that your ability to live peacefully and happily isn't dependent upon how much stuff you add to your life. Living by decreasing is the way of Tao. And also practice seeing joy in the natural world rather than seeking fulfillment in ownership. See the folly of ownership in a universe that's eternally composing and decomposing, just like you are. In essence, Lao Tzu is saying that what's real never changes because it has no form. So the more you can let things unfold naturally, the more harmoniously you're living the Tao. Enjoy the flowers, the clouds, the sunsets, the storms, the stars, the mountains, and all of the people that you encounter. Be with the world, in it, and adoring it, but not needing to possess it. This is the way of peace. This is the way of the Tao. For more than 500 years, Kabir has been one of India's revered poets. One of his most popular observations sums up this 48th verse of the Tao Te Ching. He says, quote, "The fish in the water that is thirsty needs serious professional counseling," unquote. Do the Tao now. Right this moment, let go of 5 items that you've had in your possession, putting them in circulation so that others might find them. Next, pick something that has some particular value to you and give it away. That's right, give it away. It's important that it be something you really like, for the more attachment you have to an item, the greater the joy you'll feel as you let it go. This can become a practice of living a life of daily diminishing. The 49th verse of the Tao Te Ching, quote, "The sage has no fixed mind. He is aware of the needs of others. Those who are good he treats with goodness. Those who are bad he also treats with goodness, because the nature of his being is good. He is kind to the kind. He is also kind to the unkind, because the nature of his being is kindness. He is faithful to the faithful. He is also faithful to the unfaithful. The sage lives in harmony with all below heaven. He sees everything as his own self. He loves everyone as his own child. All people are drawn to him. He behaves like a little child." Unquote. Living beyond judgment. In this gently powerful verse, we're encouraged to change the way we view virtually everyone on the planet. Lao Tzu saw the potential for existing harmoniously through living beyond judgment. Thus, this 49th verse of the Tao Te Ching invites us to explore that peaceful world. It's encouraging us to replace our idea of criticizing them with an acknowledgement of us without criticism. Imagine the possibilities for all of humanity if we simply eliminated prejudice and could live in harmony with all below heaven. You can begin changing your view of judgment as a valuable or important activity by being aware of when you're doing it to yourself. Then simply start substituting noticing for judging. From this perspective, you'll realize pretty quickly that you prefer to observe what you're doing or feeling rather than critiquing yourself. Calling your behavior bad or good just pits you against yourself and others by using competition, punishment, or dislike as your motivational markers. Hatred, anger, and threats become necessary because love, acceptance, and kindness can't be trusted. As you move away from judging yourself, you'll no longer need or want what Lao Tzu calls the fixed mind. Thus, allegiances that pitted you against the people you thought of as them will begin to dissolve. The innumerable categories that helped you to organize your labels become totally superfluous and unimportant when you change the way you look at their so-called value. In spite of having been conditioned by the country you were born in, the religion you were assigned at birth, or the culture you were immersed in, or even the family who raised you, living beyond judgment becomes your preference. You exist in harmony with the Tao that excludes no one and has no conception of divisions and loyalties. The oneness of the Tao entices you away from any belief that others are separate. This is the basic solution to wars and conflicts. You see, when you stop judging and instead begin to see yourself in others, you can't help but love the uniqueness of everyone as though they were your own children. Then instead of exclusions and allegiances, the oneness of the Tao graces all unimpeded. Rather than God bless America, or whatever country you happen to reside in, Allah save our people, or Krishna bless those who believe in you, there's God bless humanity.
Let me do all that I can to treat everyone without exception with goodness, with kindness, as all of those whom we revere as spiritual masters taught us by their example. As your worldview changes, you extend goodness to everyone you encounter. You'll find that you can feel non-judgmental compassion for the mistreated, even when their way of seeing things causes you and yours pain. You can send out kindness not only in response to kindness, but especially when you're the recipient of cruelty. Why? Because, as Lao Tzu reminds you in this poignant verse, the nature of your being is kindness. It's impossible to give to others what you are not, and you are not judgmental. You see yourself in everyone without the need to criticize them or yourself. Change your thoughts and live beyond judgment, and don't see yourself as bad when you falter in this view, or as holy when you succeed. Keep in mind that you're a mix of infinite openness and finite limitations, as we all are. So sometimes you just need to notice yourself judging without then judging yourself. This is what I feel called by Lao Tzu to offer you from this 49th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Change the way you look at yourself. That's first. If you pride yourself on having a fixed mind, realize that it relies on conditioning that generally shows up as prejudice. Instead, see yourself as flexible, since being open is the higher virtue. Pride yourself on extending your goodness and kindness to all sides, even when they oppose your pre-programmed learning. Begin to see yourself as a person who notices instead of judges. Avoid taking one position and sticking to it no matter what the circumstances are. Rather, be in harmony with all people, especially those whose opinions conflict with yours. And remember to include yourself when dispensing kindness and judgment. And next, change the way you look at other people. One version of this verse says, quote, I trust men of their word, and I trust liars. If I am true enough, I feel the heartbeats of others above my own, unquote. Whether you call it judging or labeling, notice when you think of others as evil, lazy, dishonest, stupid, or ugly. Then affirm, I see myself in this person, and I choose to be in a space of goodness rather than judgment. There's a Sanskrit word, namaste, that can help you with this. When used as a greeting, it roughly translates to, I honor the place in you where we are all one. So silently or verbally begin telling others, namaste, in order to remind yourself to love everyone as your own children. Do the Tao now. Vow to spend a day looking for opportunities to practice kindness in circumstances that usually provoke judgment. Notice what you think or say about a panhandler, a relative whom you feel animosity toward, or even a politician or TV commentator speaking in terms that send you off in a flurry of critical thoughts. Take that opportunity to become a noticer, decreasing your criticism while increasing the amount of courtesy and goodness in your world. The 50th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, between birth and death, 3 in 10 are followers of life. 3 in 10 are followers of death. And men just passing from birth to death also number 3 in 10. Why is this so? Because they clutch to life and cling to this passing world. But there is 1 of 10 that say, so sure of life, that tigers and wild bulls keep clear. Weapons turn from him on the battlefield. Rhinoceroses have no place to horn him. Tigers find no place for claws. And soldiers have no place to thrust their blades. Why is this so? Because he dwells in that place where death cannot enter. Realize your essence, and you will witness the end without ending. Unquote. Living as an immortal. In this passage, Lao Tzu asks you to change the way you look at your mortality. The Tao teaches that death is an insignificant detail that doesn't need to be consciously struggled with or dreaded. As this verse of the Tao Te Ching informs you, there's a place where death cannot enter. Talk about your life changing when you change your thoughts. This is the ultimate, since the fear of death tops virtually everyone's list of anxieties. If you see yourself solely as a physical mortal, then you're part of the 90% of the population that this passage refers to as followers of life, followers of death, or just passing from birth to death.
Here you're being encouraged to aspire to be part of the remaining 10% for whom thoughts of mortality don't invade the heart space or life in general. By altering the way you see death, you'll be in that select group. You'll experience life on the active side of infinity, knowing yourself first and foremost as a spiritual being having a temporary human experience, rather than the other way around. In this realm, you'll be gracefully adept at moving along free of the fear of life-threatening events. You'll have a knowing about yourself and your connection to the Tao that simply allows you to ride with life like a fearless downhill skier who's at one with the snow-covered mountains. Without resorting to judgment, you'll notice others who are perpetually victimized by scams and bureaucracies and indifference and natural disasters and criminals and meddling relatives and so on. With an intimate awareness of your infinite essence that's centered in the Tao, you'll most likely escape from victimization yourself and you'll lightly deal with situations that others tend to get stuck in. In other words, when you know your own endless nature and live each day with this awareness directing you, there will simply be no space within you for mortality to call the shots. If harm ever does make an attempt to inflict damage or death on you, it won't find a place to sink its hooks in. Change how you think about death by seeing your essential spiritual beingness, and you'll be able to enjoy this world without the dread caused by believing you are of it. When you know your immortality through the flow of the Tao, you won't even need to assign it a worldly concept or formal religion. And when the time comes for you to remove the worn-out coat you call your body, Lao Tzu says, quote, "You will witness the end without ending," unquote. Contemplate the teachings of the Tao Te Ching and realize that you can never really be killed or even harmed. With this view of life, you'll be able to clear your inner battlefield of the army of beliefs that continually try to march on your essential self. Fear and dread are weapons that can't hurt or threaten you. Even the natural elements symbolized by rhino's horns and tiger's claws can't inflict damage because they butt against and tear at a space that has no solidity for them to inflict pain. You dwell in a place that cannot be penetrated by death. No longer are you clutching at the 10,000 things and treating your short journey from cradle to grave as your one and only ultimate life experience. Now you're the infinite Tao, living your real essence. Although Lao Tzu lived 25 centuries ago, he is still very much alive. I feel him urging you to heed the following bits of wisdom. First, create affirmations. Remind yourself, no one dies, including myself. Affirm that you can never be harmed or destroyed, for you are not your body. If you stay connected to this reality, you'll automatically deflect dangers that may have previously been able to invade your physical space. For example, as the Indian saint Muktananda lay dying, his devotees are said to have surrounded him, pleading, "Please don't leave." Muktananda replied, "Don't be silly. Where could I go?" The great Swami realized his true essence and knew that he was at an end without ending. And secondly, die while you're alive. In your imagination, contemplate the death of your physical shell. Visualize it lying there lifeless and observe how you, the witness, aren't identified with this corpse. Now bring that same attention to your body as it gets up and goes about its daily tasks. Nothing could harm your human form when it was dead, and nothing can harm you now because you are not that body. You're the invisible, witnessing essence. Remain in this realization, knowing that you've experienced the death of your earthly container as your primary source of identification. In this new awareness, you're impenetrable and free. Here's how Leonardo da Vinci expressed the message of this verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, "While I thought that I was learning how to live, I have been learning how to die," unquote. Do this now while you're still alive. Do the Tao now. This Tao exercise is an inner vision quest in which you picture yourself as immune to harm. Create your own imagined picture of danger, or draw on the 50th verse of the Tao Te Ching for threats to your life. Tigers jump at you and miss. Swords are thrust at you, but do no damage. Bombs explode, but you're unscathed. Keep this image of yourself as incapable of being harmed, regardless of what goes on in your body. Then use this witness to your immortality vision to help you activate dormant protective forces that will accommodate you in fulfilling what you've imagined. The 51st verse of the Tao Te Ching, quote, "The way connects all living beings to their source. It springs into existence, unconscious, perfect, free. and takes on a physical body, lets circumstances complete it. Therefore, all beings honor the way and value its virtue. They have not been commanded to worship the Tao and do homage to virtue, but they always do so spontaneously. The Tao gives them life. Virtue nourishes and nourishes them, rears and shelters and protects them. The Tao produces but does not possess. The Tao gives without expecting. The Tao fosters growth without ruling. This is called hidden virtue. Unquote. Living by hidden virtue. This passage encourages you to discover that quality within you that protects, nurtures, and shelters automatically, without ruling. Consciously living by hidden virtue probably means changing many of the ways in which you see your role in the grand scheme of things. And a natural starting point would be the way you explain the mystery of how life begins. If you had to describe your own creation, you'd most likely say that you originated through an act of commingling between your biological parents. If that's the only explanation for your existence, then it excludes the spontaneity and mystery that living by hidden virtue offers you. Operating in this new way expands and redefines your conception of birth, and the world changes as a result of your modified viewpoint. Living by hidden virtue allows you to get the most out of life because it means seeing that it's not your choice and responsibility to decide how you're going to spend it. Not living by hidden virtue, on the other hand, ensures that your role in a family or culture is assigned at birth or even conception, with predetermined expectations about how you should and will function. Your days become filled with stressful attempts to please those to whom you're biologically related. You experience the nagging self-criticism that you're disappointing a parent or grandparent, along with unsettling desires to be free of the pressure of your gender or placement in a designated family. Trying to operate within this belief system can consequently keep you trapped in an unpleasant and intolerable role of servitude and obsequiousness. In the 51st verse of the Tao Te Ching, Lao Tzu asks you to expand your vision and begin to see yourself as a creation of the Tao. Imagine that the tiny seedling that was you didn't come from another particle, but rather from an invisible source. And this source that sprung you into existence, herein called the Way, has no preconceived doctrine dictating what you should do, whom you should listen to, where you should live, or how you should worship. The source, your great mother, has no investment in the choices you make during your individual journey. It knows that the seedling that was you is perfect and free to complete itself in whatever way it chooses. This mother, which is the Tao, has no expectations for you, no demands, no battles or wars for you to fight, and no history for you to live up to. The Chinese refer to this hidden entity that brought you into existence as Ti, T-E. I'm referring to Ti here as virtue or character. And Jonathan Starr's translation of the Tao Te Ching interprets it in this verse as follows, quote, "Though Tao gives life to all things, Ti is what cultivates them. Ti is that magic power which raises and rears them, completes and prepares them, comforts and protects them." Unquote. Ti, T-E, as in Tao Te Ching, then is the virtue that's deep within you and all of creation. This isn't a force that guarantees the physical shell will never die. It's more a characteristic that allows you to move through the material world in your body, perfectly aligned with the creative originating force. Listen to this verse as a reminder that you're protected and completed by your ultimate originating source, which isn't the same as guaranteeing your security in this phenomenal world. Helen Keller was speaking of this very thing when she stated, "Security is mostly a superstition. It does not exist in nature." The 51st verse is about learning to trust by changing your view of life to include Ti, or hidden virtue. It's about seeing yourself as a member of a family of oneness with the same parents as all other creatures. It's about feeling your total freedom to produce without possessing and to keep from becoming a possession yourself. So give without expecting, and don't be victimized by the expectations of others. Here are suggestions offered to you by Lao Tzu as I gaze at this great master's picture before me and feel as if I were one with him. First, practice feeling safe and protected. Live each day trusting in the hidden virtue that's both within you and that caused you.
keep in mind that the feeling of being secure, shielded, and nurtured won't come from anything you might possess. Instead, it will arise when you know that you're in constant contact with a virtuous power that lies within every cell of your being. This hidden force is responsible for your very presence. You sprang into existence by virtue of Tao. And while your every breath and action aren't commanded to do so, they nevertheless pay homage to the inner virtue that is your life. That power is in my hand as I write these words, and it's in your eyes and ears as you read or hear these words. Trust in it. Worship it. Feel safe in the force that remains hidden. This is all you need to feel complete. And secondly, remember that the Tao produces. It doesn't possess. Do the same and you'll achieve the wisdom of this verse. Be a caretaker, not an owner. Don't attempt to control anyone. Instead, foster growth without dominating or ruling. When you're in a supervisory role, allow others to activate their hidden virtue as much as possible. Just as you wish to feel protected and trust in that invisible force that animates you, so does everyone you encounter. I emphasize this word because there are no exceptions. Witter Bynner's translation of this 51st verse of the Tao Te Ching states it this way, quote, "All created things render to the existence and fitness they depend on. Do you likewise. Be parent, not possessor. Attendant, not master. Be concerned not with obedience, but with benefit. And you are at the core of living," unquote. I urge you to remember the phrase, "Do you likewise," and live by hidden virtue. Do the Tao now. Plan a day of letting go. Let go of thinking and discover the all-embracing nature of the mind. Let go of preconceptions and ideas and experience how things really are. Let go of needing to control others and discover how capable they really are. Take time to find your answers to the question, what might really happen if I let go? As you do this exercise, you may be surprised to discover that you find more of the hidden virtue in your life, which then changes the way you see yourself. The 52nd verse of the Tao Te Ching, quote, "All under heaven have a common beginning. This beginning is the mother of the world. Having known the mother, we may proceed to know her children. Having known the children, we should go back and hold on to the mother. Keep your mouth shut, guard the senses, and life is ever full. Open your mouth, always be busy, and life is beyond hope. Seeing the small is called clarity. Keeping flexible is called strength. Using the shining radiance, you return again to the light and save yourself misfortune. This is called the practice of eternal light." Unquote. Living by returning to the mother. This verse tells you that it's valuable and important to realize that your life is more than just a linear experience happening in time and space. That is, you more or less currently view your time on Earth as a straight line from conception to birth. You'll move through predictable stages of development, concluding with death, where you meet up with the mystery that awaits you on the other side. Lao Tzu is inviting you to see that your existence is a return trip to the place where all the planet's creations emerge. He wants you to realize that you have the ability to enjoy this mysterious beginning before your physical ending. This mystery, which is in each and every one of the 10,000 things, is referred to by Lao Tzu as the mother, or the symbol of what lies beyond all that seems to begin and end. Start your journey back to the mother by contemplating the first two lines of this verse of the Tao Te Ching. All under heaven have a common beginning. This beginning is the mother of the world. Let this thought filter into your physical being and create a state of awe about your existence, which emerged out of no-thingness. Know that this unseen source that births every single thing also birthed you. Like electricity streaming through a conduit, the mysterious nothingness flows through and sustains all of life, including you. It's a constant invisible. It's a constant soundless, odorless force, which isn't immediately available to your sensory self. It's vital that you spend a few moments each day getting to know yours and my eternal mother, which you can do by simply acknowledging her presence and silently communicating with her. Once you decide to know and honor her, you'll begin to change the way you look at all of her children, including yourself. You'll view all of the 10,000 things as offspring of the mother,
and you'll look beyond the temporariness of their appearances to see the Tao unfolding. This is what Lao Tzu means when he asks you to know the children not as separate from their mother, but as the mother herself. So see all of creation as originating in the mother, and then go back and hold on to her. How do you embark on this return trip to your eternal mother? Lao Tzu advises that you close your mouth and seal your ears to ensure that your spirit isn't frittered away on worldly activities. In other words, spend time with the maternal part of yourself and seek clarity by noticing the Tao in the small and the large. Practice abandoning rigidity and instead cultivate elasticity to improve your strength. Lao Tzu concludes by telling you that this way of seeing the world is the practice of eternal light. See that light in the tiniest insect, and even in the invisible particle that forms that little creature's leg. It's the same light that beats your heart and holds the universe in place. So allow yourself to not just be in awe of the insect, but to be that insect. In this way, you find clarity through seeing the small, and you'll improve the power of your new way of seeing through your flexible viewpoint. Change your linear thoughts about your presence here on Earth and begin to see your life change right before your eyes. Lao Tzu offers the following to you through me to aid you in the practice of eternal light in today's world. First, open your mouth and spirit escapes. Closed mouth, spirit connection, excellent. Think of your mouth as a gate that guards your spirit. When you speak to others, become conscious of the need to close the door and allow your spirit to be safely ensconced within you. Make the same mental shift with your ears. Keep them sealed when it comes to rumors and petty conversations. Use fewer words, commit yourself to long periods of listening, and eliminate giving advice, meddling, and participating in gossip. Cultivate your strength with the flexibility of consciously deciding when to involve your speaking and auditory senses. When you're inclined to get into other people's business, remember that your eternal mother's one and only voice is silence. Do likewise, and you'll feel yourself holding on to her in freedom and bliss, thus returning while living. And second, seeing the smallest mystery reveals the grandest mystery. By being attentive to smallness, you cultivate your desire for clarity. Noting the same spark in microscopic creatures that animates you is a way of exploring life as a return trip rather than a dead end. What seem to be the tiniest mysteries of life lead to an experience of the shining radiance that comes from an appreciation for all that you encounter. You and the mother who birthed you and everything else are one. By seeing the small, you gain this clarity, which is the return trip you're encouraged to make while alive. Now your world begins to look very different as you see originating spirit everywhere. Nothing is viewed as ordinary, inferior, or unwanted anymore. Do the Tao now. Plan a day dedicated to examining the smallest life forms that you can find. Become a witness to a spider creating a web, a sand crab scurrying along the beach, or a fly buzzing about on the wall. Take an imaginary trip through your insides, examining the life forms that reside in your intestines, in your bloodstream, or even in the lining of your eyes. All creatures that you'd need a powerful microscope to be able to see. Meditate on the mother birthing these little bacteria in order for you to exist. Experience the way viewing your body through the tiny, tiny life that's part of you and how it affects you. Living by returning to the mother will provide you with a clarity you've never experienced before. The 53rd verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, "If I have even just a little sense, I should walk in the great way, and my only fear would be straying. The great way is very smooth and straight, and yet the people prefer devious paths. That is why the court is corrupt, the fields lie in waste, the granaries are empty. Dressing magnificently, wearing a sharp sword, stuffing oneself with food and drink, amassing wealth to the extent of not knowing what to do with it, is being like a robber. I say this pomp at the expense of others is like the boasting of thieves after a looting. This is not the Tao." Unquote. Living honorably. Imagine that you are able to view the world from a position of complete honor and oneness. Everywhere you looked, you saw the great way, and saw all of it as you. From this perspective, every person who's ever existed or will ever exist is a part of you, birthed by your source. All of life, the creatures, the land, the oceans, and the vegetation are connected by the Tao. From this perspective, your world would change dramatically. If a critical mass of humanity had this same perspective, seeing the whole globe as part of ourselves would translate to the same respect for every form of life that we have for our individual bodies. And this unity would make the scene that Lao Tzu is describing in this passage impossible. Despite all of our technological advances, the words that the great Chinese master wrote 2,500 years ago still apply. Unfortunately, we're far removed from walking the great way, for we continue to see great divisions rather than a sense of unified oneness. As Lao Tzu admonishes at the end of this verse, this is not the Tao. One of my favorite translations of this 53rd verse of the Tao Te Ching was written in 1944 by Witter Bynner. He expresses it perfectly. Quote, "See how fine the palaces, and see how poor the farms, how bare the peasants' granaries, while gentry wear embroideries, hiding sharpened arms. And the more they have, the more they seize. How can there be such men as these, who never hunger, never thirst, yet eat and drink until they burst?" Unquote. You can see that these conditions still do exist today. Whole continents of people experience starvation, while a few in positions of power live in opulence and grandeur. Weapons of destruction receive funding, while millions live in poverty. Leaders sit down to overflowing plenitude, while the masses scrounge around for ways to feed their families and heat their homes. We have a long way to go before traversing that smooth and straight way of the Tao, for we still take devious paths and see the all too painful results of this choice every day. But I didn't write these words to try to change the world in one fell swoop. Rather, I'm doing so to encourage you to change the way you see your world. If you make that modification, others will gravitate toward living honorably as well. When enough of us do this, we'll reach a critical mass that will eliminate the boasting of thieves after a looting. Begin by seeing yourself as the environment, rather than as an organism within it. I've even coined a word to describe when life forms are whole rather than separate. Environorganisms. Understand that you can't survive apart from what it seems isn't part of you, for you absolutely are the air, the water, the plants, the animals, and everyone else on this planet. Change your worldview to one that completely understands that when anyone else is starving or living in poverty, so are you. See yourself in all others, and you'll find the compassion, the love, and the willingness that replaces your belief in your uniqueness and differentness. Lao Tzu was obviously distressed by the conditions of hard-heartedness and indifference that he observed in ancient China, so he appealed to all to live honorably through the emulation of the Tao, rather than from the ego perspective of separateness. And now, he asks you to change the way you look at the blatant imbalances in your world, noting how your world changes to align with the Tao when you begin to live honorably. Here are his suggestions which you can apply to your life today. Make compassion the essential foundation of your personal philosophy. Feeling guilty about what you've amassed or wallowing in sadness over the plight of the starving won't change things, but making compassion the essential foundation of your philosophy will. This is one of the most significant ways of initiating the growth of a critical mass. As that mass grows, kind hearts and actions will realign our planet. Like-minded leaders will emerge, and gross inconsistencies will be reduced and eventually eliminated. Mother Teresa was an outstanding example of how one person's way of seeing the world can change the world itself. "In each person I see," she said, "I see the face of Christ in one of his more distressing disguises." Walk in the great way by doing charity work or supporting candidates for public office who embody compassionate action. And vow to make a difference on a daily basis throughout your life, which might be as simple as refusing to join in denouncing others or categorizing them as evil or defective. After all, so many of the wars that currently rage on our planet today are rooted in religious hatred that perpetuates the imbalances pointed out in this verse of the Tao Te Ching. In the following excerpt from the Quran, the great prophet Muhammad tells the followers of Islam to practice compassionate action. You can use his teaching to make a daily difference during your own life. Quote, "Behave beneficently toward the neighbor that is a kinsman and the neighbor that is a stranger, and the companion by your side. He who behaves ill toward his neighbor is not a believer, nor can ever be one. One who eats his fill while his neighbor is hungry by his side is not a believer." Unquote. Do the Tao now. Make a daily practice of opening your heart in compassion when you see someone less fortunate than yourself. Give him or her a silent blessing rather than a thought of scorn, ridicule, blame, or indifference. Do the same when you learn how many of, quote, them, unquote, were killed in any skirmish. Rather than rejoicing about the dead enemies, say a silent prayer of love and compassion. Live honorably. It just takes. The 54th verse of the Tao Te Ching, quote, whoever is planted in the Tao will not be rooted up. Whoever embraces the Tao will not slip away. Generations honor generations endlessly. Cultivated in the self, virtue is realized. Cultivated in the family, virtue overflows. Cultivated in the community, virtue increases. Cultivated in the state, virtue abounds. The Tao is everywhere. It has become everything. To truly see it as it is. In a person, see it as a person. In a family, see it as a family. In a country, see it as a country. In the world, see it as the world. How do I know this is true? By looking inside myself. Unquote. Living as if your life makes a difference. In this verse of the Tao Te Ching, you're invited to see your role in the transformation of the planet. Instead of perceiving yourself as one insignificant individual among billions of people, you're urged to see yourself as the Tao itself. We are the world is everybody's theme song. You do make a difference. When you live with the joyful awareness that you potentially have an infinite effect on the universe, you'll radiate Tao consciousness. You'll be like a wave of energy that illuminates a room. Everyone will see the light and become affected. Those who are unaware of their Tao nature will notice the difference, and those who were aware, by not living as if their lives mattered, will be attracted and begin changing. So recognize and live your life as part of the great way and help bring balance into the world. In this 54th passage, Lao Tzu is advising you to see your divinity and revel in your magnificence. Know that in the silent space within you, where the Tao animates every breath and every thought, your life truly makes a difference. The following is what he advises in the language of the 21st century. First, choose an area to concentrate on making a difference. Don't entertain doubt about your impact on the world. Instead, develop a vision for Earth and convince yourself that you are perfectly capable of contributing to this vision, whether it's grandiose or tiny. See a world without hatred, disrespect, or violence, where the environment is respected and cared for, and where cancer, AIDS, starvation, child abuse, weapons of all kinds, or any other detrimental or demeaning scenarios disappear. The anthropologist Margaret Mead addressed this idea in the following observation, quote, never doubt, she said, that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has, unquote. And secondly, realize how much your life matters. It's said that when a butterfly flaps its wings, that energy flows thousands of miles away. Therefore, everything you think and do extends outward and multiplies. Live your life knowing that the difference you choose to make is toward wholeness, not destructiveness. Even if no one sees or acknowledges it, an act of unkindness contains energy that impacts our entire universe. And a silent blessing or thought of love toward others contains a vibration that will be felt throughout the cosmos. William Blake's vision expresses this idea, quote, to see a world in a grain of sand and a heaven in a wild flower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour, unquote. Be conscious of how very much you matter to all of creation. Do the Tao now. Dedicate a day to extending kind thoughts and acts towards your family, your community, your country, and the world. In your family, encourage someone who's struggling with low self-esteem. In your community, pick up litter and recycle it without judgment. In your country, spend a few moments in silent prayer, sending loving energy to those who are in positions of power. Then do the same for the world, including any so-called enemies. The 55th verse of the Tao Te Ching, quote, he who is in harmony with the Tao is like a newborn child. Deadly insects will not sting him. Wild beasts will not attack him. Birds of prey will not strike him. Bones are weak, muscles are soft, yet his grasp is firm. He has not experienced the union of man and woman, but is whole. His manhood is strong. He screams all day without becoming hoarse. This is perfect harmony. To know harmony is to know the changeless. To know the changeless is to have insight. Things in harmony with the Tao remain. Things that are forced grow for a while, but then wither away. This is not the Tao. And whatever is against the Tao soon ceases to be. Unquote. Living by letting go. Perhaps you have observed people who seem to get all the breaks, appearing to be impervious to the onslaughts that wreak havoc in so many lives. For example, do you know someone who seldom, if ever, gets sick in spite of spending the flu season in close contact with people who are coughing and sneezing? How about those who emerge unscathed in the middle of a crime spree? You might say that these lucky few seem to have guardian angels that protect them from the provocations of the symbolic deadly insects, wild beasts, and birds of prey mentioned in the opening lines of this passage. But Lao Tzu knows that these men and women are simply in harmony with the Tao, just as some individuals appear to have the right people show up in their lives at exactly the right time, while others seem to have a knack for making money materialize just when it's needed the most. Lao Tzu says that we should look to infants who haven't yet taken on the ego belief that they're separate from their originating source. Consequently, they have what could be considered magical powers. They can scream all day and never lose their voice, like a screeching adult would. Even with undeveloped muscles, they can fashion a firm grip. Furthermore, babies are pliable and virtually immune to harm from a fall that would break the bones of a grown-up. All of this is called perfect harmony by Lao Tzu. Verse 55 of the Tao Te Ching invites you to realize that what you call luck isn't something that randomly happens. It's yours for life when you decide to live by letting go. You attract the cooperative power of the Tao when you release the need to control your life. So change your thoughts and see how your life changes to a very fortunate one indeed. Let go and exist in harmony with the Tao in order to build up your immune system and be lucky about resisting disease and illness. I know that letting go for protection sounds paradoxical, but I suppose you could think of it like that. But try seeing it as a way of allowing life's natural rhythm to flow unimpeded through you. Living by letting go means releasing worry and stress and fear. When you promote your sense of well-being in the face of what appears as danger to others, your alignment with your source frees you from pushing yourself to act in a forceful manner. Lao Tzu reminds you here that things that are forced grow for a while, but then they wither away. Attain the protective nature that's alluded to in this powerful verse and realize the changeless with these insights for the world you're living in today. First, visualize yourself as indestructible. Yes, indestructible. Activate an inner picture that will carry you through perceived dangers. In this visualization, remove the image of your physical body and instead see the part of you that's as constant as a spirit or a thought. This is your essence, and it's incapable of being harmed in any way. From this perspective, you're not threatened by anything, from criminals to cancer, from a common cold to a wild beast. When you live in harmony with the enduring part of yourself, it will contribute to an overall sense of being indestructible. Declare yourself to be that lucky person who goes through life unscathed by freeing yourself from trying to control your perception of looming danger. And secondly, change the way you look at your potential for becoming a lucky person. Rather than telling yourself, with my luck, things aren't going to work out for me, affirm, I'm open to allowing what needs to happen. I trust luck to guide me. This change in your thinking will serve you by guiding you to live in the flow with the Tao. Peace will replace stress. Harmony will replace effort. Acceptance will replace interference and force. And good luck will replace fear. You'll become what you think about. So even things that you previously believed were evidence of bad luck will now be viewed as what helps you to move toward greater harmony in your life. Living by letting go will allow you to appreciate Lin Chuang's wry observation in The Importance of Living. Quote, if you can spend a perfectly useless afternoon in a perfectly useless manner, you've learned how to live. Unquote. Do the Tao now. Dedicate a week to charting incidents of things working out without your having to control or make them happen. This will mean consciously choosing situations where you curb your automatic impulse to control the outcome. Relax when you want to tense up, and trust in as many situations as you can. At the end of the week, notice how changing the way you think has changed your life.
The 56th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, "Those who know do not talk. Those who talk do not know. Block all the passages. Close your mouth. Cordon off your senses. Blunt your sharpness. Untie your knots. Soften your glare. Settle your dust. This is primal union, or the secret embrace. One who knows this secret is not moved by attachment or aversion, swayed by profit or loss, nor touched by honor or disgrace. He is far beyond the cares of men, yet comes to hold the dearest place in their hearts. This, therefore, is the highest state of man." Unquote. Living by silent knowing. This is probably the best-known verse of the Tao Te Ching. In fact, the opening two lines, "Those who know do not talk, those who talk do not know," are so popular that they have almost become a cliché. Nevertheless, the passage's essential message is little understood and rarely practiced. Lao Tzu is calling you to live in the highest state of silent knowing, that place deep within you that can't be communicated to any other. Consequently, you might want to change your thinking about whom you consider to be wise or learned. Persuasive speakers with a good command of the language, who are forceful in their pronouncements and confident in their point of view, are generally considered to have superior knowledge. But Lao Tzu suggests that precisely the opposite is true. Those who talk, he says, aren't living from the place of silent knowing, so they do not know. As you modify the way you look at this presumption, you'll see several differences in the way your world appears. First, you'll note that those who are compelled to pontificate and persuade are almost always tied to an attachment of some kind. Perhaps it's to a point of view, to being right, to winning, or to profiting in some way. And the more talking they do, the more they appear to be swayed by such attachments. The second thing you'll notice takes place within you. You begin to see your inclination and desire to persuade and convince others. Then you begin to listen more attentively, finding yourself in the secret embrace of the primal union that Lao Tzu describes. Your need to be knowledgeable or dominant is replaced by the deep realization that it's all irrelevant, and you lose interest in seeking approval. Living in silent knowing becomes the process that casts your existence in a different light. You have less and less of an edge and feel settled, softer, and more centered. As you change how you think about what it means to be intelligent and wise, you'll come into contact with the irony that sums up this wonderfully paradoxical section of the Tao Te Ching. Lao Tzu says that the sage who lives by the Tao is far beyond the cares of men, yet holds the dearest place in his heart. I'd sum it up this way. Those who care the least about approval seem to receive it the most. Since such individuals aren't concerned with how they're perceived, either honorably or in disgrace, they don't seek praise or run for it. While their calm wisdom may make them appear to be aloof, they actually end up gaining the respect of everyone. You have this place of silent knowing within you right now. And the following is what Lao Tzu suggests for adapting the paradoxical language of this verse of the Tao Te Ching to your world. First, he says, block all the passages. Get honest with yourself about wanting to win the favor of others. You don't have to prove anything to anyone, and you'll never succeed by droning on and on. Remember that those who talk do not know. Or as one translation of this verse simply states, shut your mouth. Silence is your evidence of inner knowing. Talking to convince others actually says more about your need to be right than their need to hear what you have to say. So rather than trying to persuade others, keep quiet. Just enjoy that deeply satisfying inner awareness. And second, use the acronym BUSS, B-U-S-S, to remember the four directives of this verse. First, B, blunt your sharpness. Do this by listening to yourself before you let your judgments attack someone else. A better course of action is to just listen and then silently offer loving compassion to both yourself and the other person. U, untie your knots. Detach from what keeps you tied to worldly patterns. Untie the knots that bind you to a life that's dedicated to showing profit and demonstrating victory, and replace them with silently contemplating the Tao in the secret embrace. S, soften your glare. Notice when your need to be right is glaringly obvious, and let the soft underside of your being replace your rigid stance.
Your impulse to glower at external events is alerting you that you're out of touch with your inner silent knowing. And S again. Settle your dust. Don't kick it up in the first place. Realize your inclination to stir up dust when you feel a diatribe about to erupt on how others ought to be behaving. Stop in the middle of pounding the table or angrily screaming and just observe yourself. Since your emotions are like waves on the ocean, learn to watch them return to the vast, calm, all-knowing source. Do the Tao now. Spend an hour, a day, a week, or a month practicing not giving unsolicited advice. Stop yourself for an instant and call upon your own silent knowing. Ask a question rather than giving advice or citing an example from your life, and then just listen to yourself and the other person. As Lao Tzu would like you to know, that's the highest state of man. The 57th verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, if you want to be a great leader, you must learn to follow the Tao. Stop trying to control. Let go of fixed plans and concepts, and the world will govern itself. How do I know this is so? Because in this world, the greater the restrictions and prohibitions, the more people are impoverished. The more advanced the weapons of state, the darker the nation. The more artful and crafty the plan, the stranger the outcome. The more laws are posted, the more thieves appear. Therefore, the sage says, I take no action, and people are reformed. I enjoy peace, and people become honest. I do nothing, and people become rich. If I keep from imposing on people, they become themselves. Unquote. Living without authoritarianism. In this and some of the following chapters of the Tao Te Ching, Lao Tzu counsels the rulers of 2,500 years ago on how and why to pursue a high quality of leadership. His advice is pertinent today, in the 21st century, to all forms of leadership, including government, business, and in particular, parenting. The essential message in this 57th verse is to allow rather than interfere. Now, I don't interpret this to mean letting an infant crawl into traffic or leaving a child alone near a swimming pool. Obviously, you must be sensible when supervising those who could harm themselves or others. What I believe Lao Tzu is conveying here is that allowing is quite often the highest form of leadership. He states that more people are impoverished in societies with excessive restrictions and prohibitions. The same can be true in families with commandments that must be obeyed without question. The more authoritarian any system is, the more outlaws will appear. On the other hand, when children are encouraged to explore and exercise their inquisitiveness, they're inspired to be their best with little need for regulation. So when you change the way you view the need for rules, family members will tend to make decisions based upon what's best for everyone rather than themselves. See what happens, for instance, if you drop an absolute curfew time for your teenagers, asking them to just be sensible about when they come home and to notify you if they're going to be later than normal. You may find that because you didn't impose yourself on them, they end up coming home even earlier than when they had a strict curfew governing their conduct. Examine the restrictions that you enforce in your family. Remember that effective parents don't want to be leaned on. They want to make leaning unnecessary. After all, you want your children to be responsible, healthy, successful, and honest, not simply because you're there to monitor them, but because it's within their nature to do so. So set an example and let them see that it's possible to be self-sufficient and enormously successful. Allow them to learn to trust in their highest nature rather than having to thumb through a rule book to decide what's right. Change the way you look at the need for edicts, laws, and prohibitions, and see yourself as someone who doesn't need to rule with an iron fist. Then enjoy taking this revised view of your leadership abilities into every area of your life where you're considered to be, quote, the boss, unquote. What follows is some 21st century advice based on this verse that was written 2,500 years ago. First, practice the art of allowing yourself. Begin by letting yourself be more spontaneous and less regimented in your daily life. Take a trip without first planning it. Go where you instinctively are guided to go. Tell the authoritarian part of you to take a break. Introduce a different side to yourself and the world by affirming, I do not have to live by anyone else's rules, and I release the need for laws to regulate my behavior. And secondly, practice the art of allowing others. Catch yourself when you're about to cite a rule as a reason for saying no to a child or someone you supervise, and instead, consider the ramifications of saying nothing and just observing.
When you change the way you look at your role as a leader, you'll find that very few edicts are necessary for people to conduct the businesses of their life. Everyone has a strong sense of what they want to do, what limits they have, and how to actualize their dreams. Be like the Tao. Allow others and enjoy how your non-authoritarian leadership inspires them to be themselves. Do the Tao now. Make time to do something you've never done before. It could be walking barefoot in the rain, or taking a yoga class, or speaking before a group at a Toastmasters club, or playing a game of touch football, or jumping out of an airplane in a parachute, or anything you've always wanted to do. Recognize that you've created restrictions for yourself that keep you from new and expanding experiences. And find the time now to close your personal rule book and plunge in where you've never, ever before even wandered. Also, make time to give those in your charge an opportunity to do the same, enjoying how much they accomplish with minimal or no action on your part.
The 58th verse of the Tao Te Ching, quote, "When the ruler knows his heart, the people are simple and pure. When he meddles with their lives, they become restless and disturbed. Bad fortune is what good fortune leans on. Good fortune is what bad fortune hides in. Who knows the ultimate end of this process? Is there no norm of right? Yet what is normal soon becomes abnormal. People's confusion is indeed long-standing. Thus the master is content to serve as an example and not to impose his will. He is pointed, but does not pierce. He straightens, but does not disrupt. He illuminates, but does not dazzle." Unquote. Living untroubled by good or bad fortune. The world of the 10,000 things is also called the world of the changing. You see it in your ever-altering life, even as you want everything to be stable and predictable. However, all things on our planet are in constant motion. As Albert Einstein once observed, nothing happens until something moves. This 58th verse of the Tao Te Ching stresses that there's another way to see the world, one that virtually guarantees that you'll be untroubled by good or bad fortune. Instead of only noticing the constantly shifting energy pattern of the material world, this verse invites you to let yourself focus on the unchanging Tao. Like most humans, you probably want your surroundings to be permanent, steady, reliable, secure, and predictable. However, your reality unequivocally insists that you take into account the opposite and unpredictable that are present in every experience you have. After all, even the landscape that surrounds you is far from orderly. Mountain ranges go up and then down into valleys. Trees tower over shrubs, and cloud formations are ominously black at times and fluffy white at others. In every perfectly sunny day, there's a storm hiding. And in every rainstorm lies a drought waiting its turn. Up and down and the unexpected are the norm of nature. Hills and dales are the way of the 10,000 things. Change your view of the peaks and valleys of all of life to an attitude that allows you to discover what's hidden in both of these experiences. Begin to see wholeness rather than good or bad fortune. See opposites as parts of oneness rather than disrupting surprise. In a world of pure Taoist unity, there's no good or bad luck. It's indivisible. What you're calling bad fortune has good just waiting to emerge because it's the other half. Lao Tzu's advice for applying the 58th verse to today's world would probably include the following. 1. See wholeness in place of good or bad fortune. When anyone is in the midst of an experience you believe is fortunate, such as a blissful relationship, financial success, excellent health, a great job with a new promotion, or children excelling in school, know that all is subject to change. Accumulated wealth has poverty hidden in it. Popularity has non-recognition camouflaged in it. And of course, the same is true during the periods that are generally thought of as unfortunate. Your life itself is the perfect place to personalize your ability to live untroubled by good or bad fortune, for you have the ability at every stage to see wholeness. So rather than calling youth an aspect of good fortune and old age a mark of bad fortune, know that the youth you were is part of the wholeness of your old age. The elderly individual you may become is part of the wholeness of your development through the levels of change that are your physical existence. Life has death concealed in it. So know your own heart and let your conduct be consistent with the Tao by not imposing your will. Be pointed, straight, and illuminating without piercing, disrupting, or dazzling. And second, when bad fortune feels so troublesome that you can't get unstuck, see good fortune leaning on it. When you feel overpoweringly discouraged during a trip through the valley of despair, it can feel as if that's all there is. If you're unable to see a circumstance or situation as part of a larger picture, remind yourself that good fortune is leaning on this bad one, just as morning follows the darkest night. With wholeness as a backdrop, rely on your knowledge of day following night at these times. Keep in mind that when you've reached the valley floor, the only direction you can go is upward. Things definitely will get better. Your luck must change. Scarcity has to turn into abundance. This is because good fortune is invisibly there in all moments of despair, and you want to learn to live untroubled by them both. Do the Tao now. Spend a day noticing what aspects of life fall into the categories of fortunate or unfortunate. List them under their titles at the end of the day, and then explore each of them when you won't be interrupted. Allow yourself to either feel each one physically in your body or see it as an image that presents itself to you. Without trying to change it in any way, allow yourself to observe the subject with your eyes closed, just as if it were a kaleidoscope or life itself. Watch it and permit it to flow through you, the way the clouds drift in the sky, night turns into day, rain evaporates, and how confusion comes and goes when you're living untroubled by good or bad fortune.